have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, back with Jared Johnson for the after show. Jared, how do you feel about that first part of the conversation?
I thought it went really well. It was really fun. I enjoyed talking to you, and I feel like you and I could just talk for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, I loved it. We said in the short break that we took, could just keep talking, could have gone down a lot of routes. And I think what's fun for anyone who has a podcast, you want a podcast, when you host a podcast, if you're a good host, then you don't make it about yourself, right? Like I throw out some stuff, but I try not to make it about myself. Like we could go on and we could make this more of a dialogue instead of this is about, you know, Jared for the show. And I know that for you, since you have a podcast, I know the same thing. Like you're a good host. You host a good party at your own house and you make it about the guest. And I know sometimes it's fun to just be a guest on somebody else's show and be like, all right, these are all the things, you know, yeah, I really want to talk about all the time that I might not get a chance to. So it's always fun for me to have another podcast host on the show because just let you loose and you don't have to feel selfish.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's dive into the kind of after show topics. These are the ones that generally ask and would love your insight. So, and again, keeping in mind, this is the Business Broker Growth Show. It's focused on business brokers. So it's going to be somewhat skewed to that, but, you know, answer, you know, what you think is appropriate. The first question is, what do you think brokers will need to do to survive in 5 years? Now, 2031, you know, in 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's sort of what we were talking about on the actual episode. Really lean in on kind of the new buyers, stay you know, kind of up to date with what's going on in the industry, and try to understand the changes, and you know, of course, use technology. All the things that, you know, kind of evolve, I guess, would be the kind of longer answer. Continue to evolve with the industry and make sure you're sort of staying at the forefront of it, making sure that you're relevant and you're finding kind of the new ways to be relevant and get deals done.
Now, side question or sub question for you, I know it's going to be all the same thing that you said, but for you on the SBA lending side, what do you think the key is to survive and thrive in 5 more years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think probably we need to get better as lenders with technology. In the SBA industry, technology has just not been as important for some reason. I think a lot of it is like you don't have the VCs weren't pumping in money like they were with mortgage because they just don't see enough upside because there's just not enough deal volume like there is in mortgage or auto loans or something like that. But I think that is like one of the big things that they need to get to. It needs to become easier and, you know, more automated to be able to kind of get things through the system. It's no secret that there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of information that you have to collect with SBA. So getting kind of on the right side of that, I think would definitely be something that you're going to have to stick with. I think outside of that, I've been sort of on this like mission or kick to try to more professionalize the SBA industry. It's been a lot more of, you know, I don't know what term to say without being too derogatory, but like kind of the, like, you know, ugly child of, you know, commercial banking, right? Where you may see a lot of people within the industry that aren't as professional. And I've sort of tried to change that myself by looking at it and saying the types of buyers that I'm working with, they're used to coming from a very professional environment. So then when they see SBA, they're like, whoa, this isn't, I'm not at Goldman Sachs anymore. Like, you know, what's going on here? So I think that there's a good amount of money to be made and it's good careers. And what you're doing is actually pretty complicated. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it and needs to be treated a little bit differently.
Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name. They search your LinkedIn. They read your last few posts. and in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it and needs to be treated a little bit differently.
Got it. That makes sense. And I could see that, right? Like, again, it's a strange subset in the lending. There's residential, there's commercial. Commercial is pretty cut and dry, right? Mm-hmm. It's very formulaic. And then there's SBA, which is like rules and regulations based on bad things that have happened or businesses that shouldn't have been funded. And then it creates more rules. And it's like, it's just this weird evolving thing I can only imagine. And then to hear the technology piece isn't there, I'm just imagining archaic old underwriting processes and documents. And then where that's a rub, like we talked about in the first episode, with the buyers out there who might be more tech savvy, they're used to that, like they're professional buyers, and or, you know, we're all customers of some other lending institution that has its stuff together. And then you encounter the SBA process, you're like, wait, this doesn't make any sense. So when it comes to M&A, your side, the broker side, buyer side, what do you think the number one tech shift is that's coming to it is?
I think just, I mean, a lot of the stuff that they can do as far as due diligence has become a little bit more automated. You know, people are using more due diligence. So, you know, quality of earnings was not a thing 3 or 4 years ago, right? That in at least in our kind of set of M&A. Using legal counsel, I think that people are going to continue to find new ways to do due diligence and to, you know, kind of really dive into a company and make sure they understand what they're buying. And so I think technology will continue to become a part of that. You know, there's faster, easier ways to review things and automate that side of it with technology. So I think the due diligence part of it will just continue to evolve.
I love it. And it makes sense, right? Versus, you know, a lot of people want to default to like the AI side, but I think the technology as a whole and, you know, whatever technology means under that umbrella. When you look back at last year, so we're recording this February 2026, you know, what was the biggest lesson you took for yourself in 2025?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think probably one of the big things that I sort of noticed was we were seeing a good shift of people that were kind of finally realizing, and I guess even myself realizing a little bit more, but leverage is not the best thing in the world for a business. buying something at 90% leverage, you're putting yourself in sort of a tough spot. So the more buyers that I talked to 6, 12, 18 months after their transaction were telling me, I wish I would have raised more capital from investors or friends and family and put more money in so that I had less debt, or do a little bit of a combination of putting in more money to the transaction and then also having an excessive amount of cash afterwards. Yeah, we're always good about building in working capital on the transaction, but there's so many times where there's things that come up that you never thought would happen. And if you don't have that kind of runway to keep it going, you can get yourself in trouble real quick. Same with being able to grow because you have the excess cash flow because you don't have so much debt every month to pay. And so it was kind of refreshing to see more people kind of do that. But then it also surprises people when I tell them to do that, because they're like, well, aren't you a bank? Like, you want to do as much lending as possible. I'm like, yeah, but I want to do good deals. So, yeah. You know, seeing that it was kind of interesting, but it was also nice to see as well.
And it's that blend, right? Because yes, you want to do bigger deals, but you also want to set people for success. You want to do the right thing. You want to do what's nice for people and good for people, going back to what we talked about in the last episode. And then, you know, someone like you as a professional or playing the long game. So you want to set people up for success, have a good reputation, and then, you know, ultimately, kind of like the barbecue story we talked about in the first part, you know, one buyer of one business decides to buy another, and they still think fondly of you and they want to use you again. And so I think that's great. For this year, 2026, what are you most excited about? When you planned out this year, when you thought about your goals or strategies or things that you're going to focus on, what are you excited about?
That's a good question as well. I think really just continuing to get better at what we're looking at. The transactions I'm seeing so far have been good, really good buyers and really good sellers. So I feel like I've got myself into a sort of a sweet spot or sweeter spot where, you know, transactions might be a little bit larger, but again, they're really experienced buyers that have good capital, have good experience, that are sort of able to kind of plug in their liquidity and plug in the debt that's necessary. And, you know, their vision and future for the business is pretty spot on for what, you know, I think is going to be needed. And so it's been fun to watch those deals. And I think that'll be a lot of what we work on this year. We'll continue to be sort of larger loan amounts, which is larger transactions, but they'll be structured and put together the right way.
Last question. If you could wave a magic wand on the marketing side and have one marketing thing done for you automatically, what would that be?
I don't know. I guess if there was a way to like just put yourself right in front of buyers right when they're trying to make their decision on who they want to use for lending. And then, you know, sort of do that, but then also put a side-by-side comparison maybe with the other lenders that they're looking for and kind of show like, this is what this person's done, this is what this person's done, or maybe even like, here's 30 people that they've worked with that'll give you a good review, you know, that type of stuff. I think that'd be kind of cool.
It's interesting because at my first thought, it sounds like something from a Black Mirror episode, like where it's like, you're thinking about it and then you just like, you know, pop into there.
Yeah. I don't know. The way it is now, I mean, I feel like if my phone's nearby and I talk about something, then next time I go on Instagram, it's like, you know, popped up every single ad. Yeah.
Everywhere. I know. And I've had that situation for years. And I've always thought like, you know, I wish I could then tell it like, I no longer care about that. Or I bought that luggage and you can stop now. Right. Like I wish it worked in our favor on both sides, the listening and the creepiness. But it's interesting because at first I think Black Mirror kind of like that sounds sketchy. And then I think of how close we are to that anyway, where, you know, given just a little more advances in searching like Google and the AI and the technology, where if you know what you're looking for, you could then do that and have that there. But that is a fascinating one. I like that request. I think that's, you know, it's really about being the, you know, the result research options when somebody's thinking about it or looking for it. Like, and how do you do that? And that's beyond SEO. That's just literally like just there. I'm imagining hologram Jared with the cowboy hat, like popping up and like, here's the testimonials and like, I don't know. It's wild. I'll work on that. We'll work on that. We'll figure that one out.
Perfect.
Well, Jared, I appreciate this. I'm glad that you were able to stay on for the after show. As I always joke, is when the lights are off, the camera's off, and we just get real. But obviously, the lights are still on, and the camera's still on, and we're still here. But you know, it's fun to have these additional topics and kind of talk about these extra things. For anyone tuning in, make sure to check out part one. If you're like, oh, the first one is really long, and let me check out the second one. Hopefully, you understood from this like there's a lot of value. Go back and check out the main episode. There was so much in there. Whether you're a business broker, an SBA lender, a buyer, a seller, you're thinking about any of those things as a career or an option for you, then literally check out that first episode. Jared's information will be in the show notes. All of his information will be there. You can go to jaredwjohnson.com. You can Google Jared W. Johnson. You can find him online. He has a podcast. All of that will be in the show notes. Jared, thank you once again for additional time, some bonus time here with myself and for the audience. And I just appreciate you for being here.
Thanks for having me on. I loved it.
Yeah. And for everyone tuning in, appreciate you being here. Make sure to subscribe to this. You found it as a podcast, subscribe on the YouTube channel, like things, share things. You know, my goal is to just get more of this type of message out. Like I said, at the end of the first episode, just spotlight professionals like Jared, get more of this content out there. And then who knows, maybe in the future when AI is really taking over, it'll pop up you know, hologram Jared at the right moment for the people who need lending. And this will be a part of that journey and a part of that research that the AI will do once it takes over. Don't forget, we're the good guys, AI. So until next time, stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.